I'm really glad that our guest was able to join, especially since we just got a hold of him this week. He's from the Shawnee Alliance, Dave Mitchell. He's joined us in the past, and we talked about elder abuse. First off, it's good to see you again, Dave.
Thank you.
You know, when Elder Abuse Awareness Month, all right, and it's interesting because I very often, and I guess most people think about images, and I can't help but see a raised fist and grandma cowering as elder abuse. And then after I met you in particular the first time and I started doing more homework, I realized that this is a much bigger subject than that somebody hit grandma. I mean, that's my takeaway, and I think because I find that so offensive that I automatically go to that.
No, you're right. Most folks think of elder abuse as physical abuse of an older adult, or also our program includes adults with disabilities. Anyone 18 through the age of 59 with a disability, we try to serve them when they're being abused as well. But yes, that's correct. About a fourth of our reports alleged physical abuse of an older adult or adult with disabilities.
When you said that, the first thing I said was only a fourth. What does the other three quarters constitute?
I'll tell you.
And the reason why I've got Dave here is Shawnee Alliance. You do the investigations, correct?
Yes.
Right? So you know firsthand, and you have to be the detective of sorts here. So that three quarters, does it break up into, all right, this is right. Okay. Let's say 25% is physical and 75% is, and how'd that break up?
Well, we also look at sexual abuse, about 6%, and I think that's much underreported. As many as half of adults with disabilities are, especially women, are sexually victimized. So I think that is underreported a great deal, and certainly in the elderly population. We also look at emotional abuse. About 40% is emotional abuse. I know these are not adding up, but it's because we get more than one type of abuse alleged on each report.
Well, and so what was the last category there?
Emotional abuse.
Now, emotional abuse, because I link that with if you don't give me the money.
That is a good way to put it. Threats, harassment, intimidation, threats of harming a beloved pet is a common type of emotional abuse.
I'll hurt your dog if you don't give me your Social Security check.
It's usually folks that are maybe mentally ill, substance abusers. Both are very common.
Because they're easy victims.
That's correct.
All right. So what are the other categories?
The other categories are deprivation. We have two types of deprivation. The most common, about 40% of our reports, are passive neglect. A caregiver who is, for one reason or another, not able to provide the appropriate level of care for the person that they have taken on to provide a care, or they've taken on a caregiving role.
And in that category, I link that with, you know, the situation the person is in, and you didn't do anything. You know they didn't have air conditioning. You know they didn't have a fan. And you know the heat index is 112, and you didn't do anything about it. Is that the right category for that?
That's one way, or maybe not providing their medications. And sometimes the caregiver is more impaired than the person they're trying to. It's often not a mean-spirited act. It's just the inability to provide an appropriate level of care.
Right.
On the other hand, we look at deprivation, which is intentionally withholding life's necessities from an older adult or an adult with disabilities. That's a much smaller percentage, maybe 14 or 15%, but those are much more serious cases disturbing.
Dave, in each one of these, whenever I think about and listen to what you're talking about, I hear there's almost a subtext that allows this to go on, and that is I'm embarrassed by the situation that I find myself in. I'm not once as young and spry as I once was. I can't defend myself, and I don't want anybody to know. How much of that is correct?
All of it, because 80% of the abusers are family members.
If it was a stranger or a healthcare worker, and I know a lot of great healthcare workers,
all of them are good, but occasionally some of them run off the tracks.
Well, my mom is doing this now.
Yes.
In home healthcare.
Mine too.
No kidding.
90 years old.
Well, my mom is actually providing the care.
Oh, well,
right?
Mine is receiving it.
Right.
Yeah.
And we occasionally talk about her work and things along that line. And, you know, she's very compelled, it seems, in particular, knowing that situation. So I want to make it clear that we're not out here bashing healthcare workers,
Right? It's very rare to have.
Well, you said 80% family.
Yeah.
Right?
Almost all.
80%. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, money is a motivation. Indifference is a plays some role here as well. Just a general indifference.
Well, it's self-serving. A lot of folks are, you know, you're aware of the opioid epidemic. You're aware of the meth epidemic. Some of these folks are mentally ill as well, and the treatment options are very limited at this time due to budget restrictions. And they're going to get money some way, and these are the most vulnerable in our population, adults with disabilities and older adults. And by the way, older adults, disability is not a factor in being eligible for our help.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
So here's okay. The other thing, all right? If you see a domestic abuse situation, that person goes to work and their coworkers know something's wrong. When it's elder abuse, there's this isolation that you don't go out maybe necessarily to go to work every day so they don't see the black eye, the bruise, or the terrified look on your face, or your posture. Body language gives out a lot of stuff. You've done a lot of investigation. You know this just as well as anybody. So that's taken off the table on helping find it. I mean, how did these things come to your attention? How do you know that somebody's being abused? How do you get help for people who are in this situation?
Anywhere from self-reporting to other family members reporting, the home health workers, the in-home workers that we were just speaking about
right.
are very good about reporting. We get reports from attorneys, from bankers, from law enforcement very commonly. Anyone in the community, neighbors. In Southern Illinois, we have the highest reporting rate of anywhere in the state of Illinois by far.
I don't know whether to feel good about. I'm supposed to feel good about that, right? I'm not sure what it is.
I clarify that it's not because we have more abuse. I think more people, more of the public and professionals are aware of who to call for help. Shawnee Alliance has been here for so long.
True, and you've got a trust factor. But I think we're talking about smaller communications and more lines of connection, a more intimate mm-hmm. community, whereas in a larger number, anonymity can provide some protection for an abuser.
I think so.
All right, so when it comes to this, you got a special number, 24 hours a day. Because interesting, I was talking about a state police officer, with a state police officer, and he was telling me within, I think it's 24 hours, of suspected child abuse, there has to be an interview and somebody has to be on the scene to do that. What's the standard for this in Illinois when it comes to elder abuse?
We have different standards depending upon the type of abuse. The most common abuse that we respond to is by far financial exploitation. Misuse of an adult or an adult with disabilities or an older adult's assets, and we have up to 7 days to respond to that, but we try to get out as close to immediately as possible on all of them. Serious physical abuse, 24 hours, but we go out immediately. If we, you know, any of them, we get out faster than the statutory limits.
It's amazing that every time I talk to you, my view of this changes. I tend have a tendency to be very linear. What's the most important, and then put it behind everything else and try to have it prioritized. And I'd always kind of thought of physical abuse as being the leading component. I knew there was a financial aspect.
60%.
That surprises me. Actually, I'm not surprise is my nice word for appalled, I think. But we knew that was going on, and I'm really glad you mentioned that there's also the additional caveat now, and that is Social Security, but I also want your medication. A woman who maybe has multiple compression fractures in her spine, or a man who's maybe taking some type of pain relief medication consistently because they're at an age where a surgery can't go to repair that. Well, you're a steady stream of opioids for someone who knows.
Very common. We see it every day.
Every day makes me want to cry, David.
It's disturbing.
All right. So, fentanyl patches too. I mean, the more and more I think about this, hospice care. Now, this financial thing, this is because we talked about that anonymity of large numbers, but that's why you see the bankers and the financial and the lawyers playing such a role, is they're seeing this money and the
unusual banking activity.
And maybe a lack of general well-being because that money is mm-hmm. not going where it needs to go as well.
Right. And you see people that can afford certain amenities that no longer are able to afford them. Something has changed in their life for the worse.
Dave, you and I are of a certain age.
Yes.
Where at one point, you were probably told this as a young man. I was. When you hear something happening next door, you go about your business. That's not our business. That's theirs. And those type of things were something that was dealt with within the family. We've seen that change. But I'm not so sure the attitude has.
I'm sure it hasn't. And we encourage anyone. We are glad to get anonymous reports. We never reveal a report source. As long as I'm here, that will not happen. We don't care who calls. We just want to know if someone needs help, and we want to get out there. You don't have to have proof that abuse is occurring. All you're doing is initiating an investigation, and about half of the investigations result in a founded result.
About half, right?
Result in something being...
You kind of call it like a well-being check, that we're here for a well-being check.
You could say that. It's a little more than that.
Is
but
it?
Often we work with law enforcement, depending upon if there's a criminal activity involved.
Well, because your workers have to be protected.
That's right. And Southern Illinois area has been great as far as cooperation among us.
You know, I'm kind of curious about something else because I'm a guy. And I'm imagining myself a little older than I am now, not that much older, before I could potentially be in a situation like this. And I can feel it. I know it from my that if something like this going around, I'm really not going to want to call the cops.
Mm-hmm.
There's that pride thing. So I'm wondering, when it comes to underreporting, if there's a lot of elderly men out there in the community that maybe are at the hands, because I got a good friend of mine who does a lot of investigations. His name's Jesse. He's listening right now, right? And we get a little older, and then things happen to us that we once could have dealt with, and now we just kind of keep it to ourselves, and we'll, I don't know what that's called.
We're there to help. We, a person who has decisional capacity, we're not going to do anything that individual does not agree on. We're not there to run their lives. We're there to help, advocate on their behalf. So no one should worry about us coming in and making them move to a more restrictive environment. Our goal is to keep people in the community and keep them safe. So we will not take any action without the approval, without the consent of that victim.
Do you think men are more highly underreported than women because of that ego thing that I just kind of touched on?
About 75% of victims are female.
Yeah.
So I'd say so. Now, abusers are about 50-50, and that used to puzzle me a little bit until I figured out that more women are in a caregiving role. And
so as
so
a result,
kind of evens it out.
Right.
But,
so you've been doing this a long time.
I've been here for 23 years. I was with the Attorney General's office for about 6 years prior to taking this job, so doing sort of similar work in the consumer division.
So after years of doing this, I would imagine you've been troubled by on a pretty regular basis, I would think. But I know that many professionals like yourself have a tendency to distill things down to a manageable level. And for somebody who has experience with elder abuse, this is Shawnee Alliance. Dave Mitchell is joining us this morning. I mean, what's your takeaway? What's your moral of the story?
Well, I encourage everyone to call. We can't fix everyone. And by the way, before we finish, I'd like to mention that starting Monday, the state of Illinois is going to include self-neglect as part of the Adult Protective Services program. So those folks who, for one reason or another, the adult's inability because of physical or mental impairments, some diminished capacity to perform self-care tasks.
So what, when we're talking about self-neglect, are we talking about hoarding? Are
well,
we talking
that's
about...
That's a common example. You see them in every community. Hoarders, the yard's full of things. The house is full to the ceiling. Nothing that goes in ever comes out. I've seen extreme cases. Animal hoarders are very common.
Right.
It requires a multidisciplinary approach. We work with law enforcement, attorneys. We work with code enforcement, animal control, mental health, medical professionals to try to help these folks. And in the past, that's just been an unmet need in the state of Illinois. So now, starting Monday, we will be available to try to help these folks.
All right.
I'm not saying we can fix them.
A change in law is what generates this?
Okay. It's a change in the Adult Protective Services Act.
That includes self-neglect as elder abuse.
As well as abuse of adults with disabilities and abuse of older adults.
So you have more responsibilities now?
We'll get a little busier. I'm predicting at least 30%. A lot of states, 50% increase in reporting.
Because there's always that house at the end of the lane where the woman has been there forever, and now that falls under that. And there are a lot of houses at the end of the lanes in a rural community like Southern Illinois.
Mm-hmm. And we'll do our best to help those folks. Again, they have the right to make bad decisions, but we will take our time and do the best we can to improve their situation.
Do you see self-neglect quite a lot? And what does that – because I'm wondering now about people who actually physically hurt themselves intentionally. Is that part of this as well? Now, this is something that I often associate with young people, but I wonder.
It can be. That can be, but it's really much more common. A person can't manage their medications. They are hoarders. They're animal collectors. I've seen houses with these sisters, as an example, that had 200 cats in their basement in cat cages. No means of disposing of the waste. They feel, for one reason or another, they're the saviors of these animals,
right.
And they're just unable to provide the care for them. So,
but they're compelled to do so.
Yeah,
at the same time.
They can't stop. They're not being mean.
Right. Best of luck, David. It's my first thought. I've got other words, I think we'll probably save them from off the air.
Okay.
But I'm really glad there's somebody like you out here doing this. You know, I've got a friend of mine in DuCoin who every year calls me and says, "Don't forget, it's Elder Abuse Month."
Yes.
And she's been great with me for decades, so I always make sure that we do something about this, because this is one of the items I've thought. It's amazing how naive that you can be when you're younger, and I was, that we would grow up and we wouldn't see domestic violence anymore. And I always assumed it would happen in my lifetime. So, hand to God, I believed that, and probably till I was about 20. And then this elder abuse thing comes in into mine, and it's one of those things that this is something we can do something about. There are so many things in the world we can't do a damn thing about. This we can.
Just don't hesitate to give us a call if you think somebody needs help. And again, do you want me to?
The number on the website.
The number is 618-985-8322. It's Shawnee Alliance. We have intake specialists, or you can talk directly to me, and we'll do the best we can to help you.
And you service all the counties in Southern Illinois?
Southern 13 counties. Yes,
right.
We do.